Good evening, everyone. It's great to see each of you back once again, eager to ready to learn more about the Word of God. It's great to see each and every one of you back once again. This morning, we had, during my lesson, we talked about, for those who weren't here, we talked about Bible baptism and how it is essential to our salvation, how it represents a burial, us burying the old man, putting off our old ways, and being reborn as something new, as a Christian, and being added to the body of Christ. And so, this afternoon, I kind of, sort of wanted to stay on the same track and talk to you all about this doctrine that is once saved, always saved. I want to talk to you about, can a child of God fall from grace? Can we fall from, lose our salvation? And you know, this is a doctrine that there's a lot of people out there who believe this. And, you know, it goes by a few different names. The most common one being once saved, always saved. But it goes by other different names like once in grace, always in grace, impossibility of apostasy, perseverance of the saints, and then internal security of the believer. And so pretty much essentially what this false doctrine is teaching is that once a Christian is saved, once a Christian is baptized, once they are saved, they are free to go. They're good forever. They cannot lose their salvation. They cannot sin no longer. No sin will cause them to be lost. That's what this false doctrine teaches. And it sounds insane. No sin can cause us to lose out on our salvation. What type of nonsense? Who would believe this? You think that. But there's a lot of people who believe in this false doctrine. You know, this mainly is with the Presbyterian Church. You mainly see this in the Presbyterian Church. And in fact, and this is, I'll just go through a few, but this is what some of the Presbyterian leaders write about. And their own little man-made book, and you can look it up for yourself if you want, chapter 17 of the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church, on page 79, it says, they whom God has accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere there to the end and be eternally saved. Pretty much what is being told here is that once you're saved, you can't. It's nothing you can do that can cause you to not be saved. You're always saved after you have been saved. You have no type of sin will cause you to lose out on your salvation. That is what is being taught here. And same thing here. We see it, one of the Baptist leaders and by Edward T. Hiscox in the Standard Manual for Baptist Church. It says, we believe the scriptures teach that such as are truly regenerate, being born of the Spirit, will not utterly fall away and perish, but will endure until the end, that their persevering attachment to Christ is the grand mark which distinguishes them from superficial professors, that a special providence watches over their welfare, and that they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, they use a bunch of big words, but what they're saying here is that once you're saved, once you're saved, you're eternally saved. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing, whatever, after that point, whatever happens, you're good to go for the rest of your life. That is what is being taught. And that as Christians, as people who open up the Word of God, look through the Word of God, this sounds insane. Who could possibly believe this, right? And when I first heard about this, when I first was learning about this in the training program, I was like, there's no possible way somebody could believe this. But the truth is, there's a lot of people who believe this. And we talked about this morning in our Bible class about how the simple people, about those who don't do prior research, this is what a lot of them believe because they don't open up the Word of God for themselves. They listen to those higher ups that they go look towards, and then they believe stuff like this because they don't open up the Word of God for themselves. And then you have another one, Sam Morris, a Baptist preacher, and he wrote in a tract titled, Do a Christian Sins Damn His Soul? And he says, writes, we take the position that a Christian sins Do not damn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, and what he says, his character, his conduct, his attitude toward other people have nothing whatsoever to do with the salvation of his soul. All the sins a Christian may commit, from adult idolatry to murder, would not put his soul in any danger. This is actually written. An actual Baptist preacher wrote this and said, any soul, idolatry to murder, would not put his soul in danger. And you got people out there believing that, going through life, that, I'm good to go. I've been saved, so I can do whatever I want. I can go back, stop going to services, go back into the world, continue to smoke, drink, do whatever, and I'll be saved, good to go. And that is a dangerous teaching. And that's why it's so important that we as Christians are on top of things like this, teach people the scriptures, what the scripture has to say. And a lot of these teachings come from John Calvinism, or John Calvin the Tulip. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing. This is a whole different issue on its own. But you have the whole Tulip, and mostly they take this from Perseverance of the Saints, but I'll just go through and explain it real quick. You have total depravity, the T, which is that everyone is born in sin. That is what they teach. That is what they believe, that everyone's born in sin. It doesn't matter what you do. We're just all in sin. And then you have unconditional election, the U in the Tulip, which is how they teach that we are, that there are certain people who are selected by God to be saved. There are elect, they call them. The elect who are chosen by God, and those few people are going to be saved. And so that's one thing that they teach. That's the unconditional election. Then you have limited atonement, and they teach that Jesus died for those elected people. That is what they teach, that Jesus came on earth and died for those elected people that God chose to be saved. And so anybody else, that means anybody else, tough luck to them. And so that's that limited atonement. Then you have irresistible grace, and they teach how the Holy Spirit comes upon and dwells in those elected people, and how that the Holy Spirit pretty much controls them and causes them not to sin or not to do anything wrong. And then you have perseverance of the saints, which is, you know, once saved, always saved. And this is the one that a lot of different denominations, you have some Baptist church, mainly Presbyterian church, follows the Tulip. But you have them that take some of the practices of the Tulip and apply it to their services in church. And so that is who believes this. That is the teaching behind once saved, always saved. And it is a dangerous teaching. But going through, you see all the people that say, oh, all these people, I've talked about how they write these things about how we can't be lost, or how teach about how we can't be, once we're saved, we can't be lost. But you know what doesn't teach that? You know what I didn't put up there? Because we don't see it anywhere in it? The Bible. That is where we don't see this being taught. We don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, once we're saved, we can't be lost. Because it's nowhere in the Bible. In fact, we see the exact opposite many times throughout the Word of God. And 1 Corinthians, if you turn there, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. And again, I always encourage you to turn to the verse and chapter yourselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. So, what is Paul talking about here? What does Paul mean, so that he does not fall? That he doesn't fall and trip over some steps? That he doesn't fall off and trip? No. What is he saying? That he does not fall from grace. That he does not fall away. That is what Paul is talking about here when he says, in verse 12, that he does not fall. That's a person doesn't fall from grace. That is what's being talked about here. Same thing in Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 13. Turn there with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 13, it says, "So then, brothers, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will be saved." So what is being talked about here? We see it says, so Paul says first, let's look over, it says in verse 12, "For if," in verse 13, "for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die." So what does he mean by that? If we choose, what it means is if we choose to not follow the commands of God, if we choose to do our own thing, continue to live in the world and participate of the things of the world, then spiritually we will die. Spiritually we will die, which means that we fall away from God. That is what that means, that we fall away from God when we spiritually are dead. But he goes on to say, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. So again, that just means that if we do the things that we need to do, if we're following God's commands, if we're following, living our lives how we should, we will be saved. We will live and we will have salvation. That is what that means. So again, just those two verses alone show us that we can indeed, if we aren't doing the things we need to do, we can fall from grace. Also in, I turned it off. There we go. Also in James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. It says, "My brothers, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So, wait a second. I thought, according to the once saved, always saved, I thought you, once you're saved, you can't, it doesn't matter what type of sin you commit, you're good to go. But here we see that if any brother strays from the truth, which means that we can, in fact, stray from the truth. That, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death. So again, this is showing us that we can in fact fall from grace. We can in fact fall away and sin. So you know, just these three verses alone completely debunk this whole teaching of once saved, always saved. But the big issue with this teaching is the fact that people don't open up the Word of God. Just the fact that people believe this shows that people don't open up the Word of God. Or if they do open up the Word of God, they're not looking in the right places. Because just these three verses alone, we see that we can, in fact, fall from grace. Also in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." So, why does Paul need to discipline his body? Why does Paul need to make his body a slave? Why is he telling us he needs to control his body? Because, so that he doesn't get disqualified. The reason for that is because we are at risk of falling away. We can, in fact, fall away. That's why he says, "But I discipline my body and make it my slave." To have that self-control, to have that control so that when we come up in the face of temptations, so that he will not be tempted by them. He will have that self-control to control himself, because we are at risk each and every day of actually falling away. Every day we walk out into the world, when we're around the world, each and every moment we are at risk if we don't have that self-control and that Paul is talking about here. But again, this is just showing we can in fact fall away. So this teaching is just, it just really boggles my mind. It's not hard to understand the word of God. It's not hard to open up the word and look for yourself. That this is what God says. This is what is written. So the fact that we even have an issue of people saying that once you're saved, you're always saved, that just goes to show that they're not using the word of God. They're not opening their word of God and going into it and looking for these things. They're coming up with this by themselves. Also, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So John is talking to the church in Asia. And so why does he tell them be faithful until death if we're able to be, if we're saved, once saved, always saved? Because we're not, once we're saved, we are at risk of not being saved each and every day. That's why he tells them, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The Christian walk is a lifetime endeavor. The moment we are baptized and immersed in that water, as I talked about this morning, the moment we come up from that water, our walk begins there. Our Christian life begins there. And until death or until Jesus comes back, we are to continually serve God, continually follow his commands, and look in the word of God and grow in our faith. That's why he says, be faithful unto death. Because there's a lot of people out there who are faithful unto death and who have fallen away. And so, again, just furthermore proving that this false teaching is just absurd. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 12. We turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. And I'll go ahead and start. I'll start in verse 1. It says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather plead with him as a father to the younger man, as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, in all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice pity in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in petitions and prayers night and day. But she who lives in self-indulgence is dead even while she lives, and command these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in affliction, if she has devoted herself to every good work, but refused to put younger widows on the list. For when they feel sensual desires and disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge." And the point of me pointing this out is incurring condemnation. Look at that. It says, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge, showing that us not doing the things we need to do, we can indeed fall away, we can indeed not be saved anymore, not have that gift of salvation and lose out on that gift of salvation. And so just by that, all these verses alone, we see that It is not once saved, always saved. We're saved if we do certain things. We're saved if we follow the word of God. We're saved if we live our lives as Christ-like. That's how we are saved. Not once saved and then we're free to go. We're good to do whatever we want for the rest of our lives. In fact, we see in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, if you turn there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. It says, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I proclaim to you as good news, unless you believe for nothing. So it says you are saved if you hold fast to the word which I proclaimed to you as good news. What is the word that is being proclaimed to the church in Corinth? The word of God. If they hold fast, if we hold fast to the word of God, we will be saved. That is the only way we are saved, by following the word of God. Not just by being baptized and being good to go, because heaven is not a guarantee. We have to, we can't earn heaven, but we have to work towards getting to heaven, because heaven is a gift that God has given us, and we need to work towards that, receiving that gift. Also, if you look in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and choosing sure, for in doing these things, you will never stumble. Be all the more diligent to make your calling and choosing sure. We need to be diligent in following the word of God if we want to be saved. We need to, I talked about first lesson, Bible authority. If we want to be saved, we have to follow that authority that God has given us each and every day. When we meet together, we need to be doing everything according to the authority we have. When we're out in the world, we need to be following and doing the teachings that we read about each and every time we meet together. Living our lives according to the scriptures. Always, if we want to be saved. If. It's not a guarantee. It's not just a one-time thing. You make a commitment one time, come to services, be baptized, and you're good to go. That's not how this works. We have to put in the work continually. And we have so many, and I save these for last, but we have verses that clearly tell us that we can fall away. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. Turn there, Luke chapter 8, verse 13. It says, and those on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. That's a lot of Christians today. It says they believe for a while. And isn't that so many Christians? For a while, you know, a Christian, newborn Christian, baptized, then they come to services, they're committed to come into every service for like maybe 2 months or so. And then that attendance rate gets lower and lower. They'll start coming only Sunday, then maybe only Wednesday, then stop showing up at all. Because in a time of temptation, fall away. Because temptation around them. Because they didn't change their lives. Because they continue to hang out with the same people, continue to do the same things that they did before they were even baptized. But that's just showing that we can be tempted. We can still fall away. That's why it's so important that we lean towards each other. That's the blessing of being a Christian, is having fellowship with each other. And that's one of the lessons I'll be doing before I leave. But that fellowship that we have with each other is so beautiful, because we're able to lean on each other for support. Go to each other and help each other in times of need. That's why it's so important that we visit with each other, especially newer Christians. Continually try to set up Bible studies with them. try to help them out. Because it's very, being a Christian, as a, being a new babe in Christ is hard. It is hard. Letting go, because they're fresh in the battle. And having to let go of all those things. Having to let go and get rid of the world or whatever other issues that they might have had in their lives. But the point is that we can, this shows that we can in fact fall away. Another verse that clearly says that we can fall away, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. If you turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Again, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Hear too many stories. Hear and see it too many times. This is the truth. Too many times people will fall away. Turn to teachers and demons, false teachings, things that align with their lives, their sinful lives, and they become complicit and just say, whatever with the word of God, I'll just go ahead and follow these false teachings, follow these false doctrines, because that aligns with my life a little bit better. And too many times do Christians fall away because they get caught up with the world and false teachings of life. But again, just another verse showing. And then you have Hebrews 3:12 as well. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it says, see to it, brothers, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And then last fall away verse that I have here is Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. If you turn there, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, you have been severed from Christ. You who are being justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So this, again, we can, in fact, fall from grace. And this, the consequences of this teaching is very serious, because not only does it'll get people thinking that, oh, once you're saved, you can just go ahead and do whatever you want. That's what that people don't think about this when they teach this. Or if some do, they just don't care. That by this teaching, once saved, always saved, you can go out in the world, you can be, once you're baptized, once you're saved, you can go out in the world, do whatever you want. It don't matter. Murder, you can go down and have a bucket list of sin, and you'll still be saved. That's what they're teaching out there. Not only that, but it's allowing acceptance of, it's just changing scriptures. It is changing scripture. Because the Bible tells us that we can fall away, and yet you have so many people out here who've been duped, who aren't doing, open up the word of God themselves, believing that they can in fact fall away. That's, they can't in fact fall away. And that's why it's so important that we as Christians, we're told to teach others. That's why it's so important that we teach others. Because if we're not teaching anybody, if we're not teaching, trying to bring people to Christ, who will? If Christians, the people with the truth, aren't doing their job teaching, trying to teach and correct all the false doctrine that's in the world, then it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. And it still is, even if we teach the truth, but what we can do is lessen the casualties. And that's why it's so important that maybe we already know these things, that, of course, yeah, we know that we want, you're not once saved, always saved. Of course we know that. If we truly know that, then we need to be teaching others who don't know that. Teaching and sharing every lesson that we learn, everything that we come, every time we open up the Word of God, anything we learn, we should be teaching others. And so it's just so important that we continually open up the Word, open up the Scripture. That's why it's so important, because you have stuff like this, because people are duped by stuff like this, all because they simply just won't open up the Word of God. But I'll leave you off with this. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. I'll leave you off with this last verse. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so that will be a sad, very sad day when it comes. You know, just every time I get up here and every time I open up the scriptures and word of God and look and read, I just think about the amount of people who will not make it to heaven. I have many family members. I have many family members who've heard the word of God, who've been baptized, and yet they choose to follow their own desires. And it will be a sad day when Jesus comes back and he has to tell all those people, "Depart from me, I knew you not." Such a sad day to think about. But what we can do, again, is continually, as we said, I've heard many times, as long as we live, we have an opportunity. As long as we live, we have an opportunity to change. And so we just need to continually teach others the truth, teach others about the Word of God and what the Bible has to say about things. And at that point, we leave it up to them whether they'll listen to the truth or not. And so I encourage you today that if you have any type of sin in your life, I'm looking in the crowd, I see that everybody has followed the plan of salvation to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And so now the final plan I offer up to you is to remain faithful. And if you mess up, fess up, confess your sins, if you do have any in your life, because tomorrow isn't guaranteed. That moment that we think, that moment we sin, might be the moment that causes us to lose out on that gift of salvation. So I encourage you, if you need prayers from the church, please come to the front as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.